presenting Hawk Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
X4 calling control towers. The X4 calling control towers. Standing by.
Control tower back to the X4. Wind southeast. Steering 1200. All clear.
Okay. This is Hawk Harrigan coming in. Here sits America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hawk Harrigan.
Fellas and girls, you know all about how a pilot, in any kind of weather, can fly his ship along a radio wave beamed to him from an airport. We call this flying on the beam. Well, the trouble with flying on the beam, though, is that the beams radiated from an airport form only a single lane from that airport to the next. In bad weather, a fast plane can pass a slow one only by flying 1,000 feet higher or lower. Well, this has caused a major problem in traffic congestion around busy airports, where planes often have to be stacked in the air above each other for hours, as they keep circling around the field until each one, in turn, is beamed into the landing strip. Besides this, only a limited number of aircraft can fly in the same direction at the same time and in the same vicinity. But now, a new device has just been perfected by the Minneapolis-Honeywell Regulator Company. It's called the BD Computer, and it'll transform the single-road skyway into 10-lane superhighways. Because of the BD computer, any number of planes can travel in the same direction at one time and land within only 1 minute of each other. Think of that, planes swooping down onto a field at the rate of 1 minute. For the BD computer measures direction and distance. It has a built-in talent for figuring out complicated mathematical problems, and it doesn't make mistakes. In just a few minutes, gang, I'll be back to tell you exactly how this plane brain does a lot of thinking for the pilot. And I think you'll find it interesting. So don't forget to listen. And now for our story. Hawks and Tanks' return home to Lakeville has been marked by two strange yet seemingly unrelated incidents. First, a vicious attack on young Christopher Cross for no apparent reason. And second, the suddenly discordant tone of the new bell in the steeple of the Lakeville Town Hall. As we join Hawk today, he's on his way up to Chris's bedroom. And as he walks up the stairs and along the hall, his face is clouded with worry.
Just a minute. Okay, come in.
Hey, what's going on here?
Oh, Juma.
What were you up to? Out of bed, eh?
Oh, gosh, I'm awful tired of lying around here. Why can't I get up?
And Agatha's orders.
But I'm okay now, honest I am. When I see all that snow outside going away...
It'll be there tomorrow, don't worry.
You mean I have to stay in bed till tomorrow?
Well, you can probably get up for dinner this evening. Now, Chris, I want to take a look at your head. Lean forward, will you?
Oh, sure. Where's Tank?
He's out on the field cleaning the snow off the runway.
All by himself?
He fixed up a homemade plow and attached it to the Jeep. Okay.
It didn't hurt a bit when you touched it. I'm all right, honest.
That won't hurt for you to rest a while longer.
Oh, gee whiz.
Now, suppose you tell me all about it.
All about what?
How you got that goose egg.
Well, gosh, I told you last night. I wasn't making it up, honest, I was.
I know you weren't, Chris, but things were happening so fast I didn't quite get the whole story. Let's go over it now and fill in all the details.
All right. It was about 8:30 when I left the party.
What?
Well, it was awful hot inside, and anyway, I was getting kind of tired listening to all those speeches. So I asked Aunt Agatha if I could go outside for a while, and she said all right. So I went out into the street.
Wait a minute. Where was the party?
In the town hall.
Yes, but where in the town hall?
Oh, on the first floor in that big room in the back. Honest, I thought it was awfully boring.
Okay, go on. You went outside, out the front door?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Oh, I walked around some in the snow and made some snowballs and threw them at the fireplace. You know, I was trying out my aim. Well, I happened to walk around the corner to the side of the town hall. Way in the back, where it was dark, I saw a ladder. I almost bumped into it, as a matter of fact.
The ladder was propped against the side of the building?
Yes. It went up to a window on the second floor.
I see.
Well, I saw the window was open. I thought maybe somebody had been washing the window and forgot to close it. And a lot of snow was blowing in.
So you went up to close it?
Yes, that's right. I wasn't getting into any mischief, huh?
Go on.
Well, I climbed up, and I couldn't close the window from the outside, so I went in. I figured I could get down again by the main stairs.
And you were slugged as you climbed inside?
No, right after. I was just reaching up to close the window, and bang. That's all I remember until I woke up downstairs with Aunt Agatha and that old Mr. Miller. Gosh, Harp, why didn't he believe me?
Oh, forget about him. He must have gotten up on the wrong side of bed that day.
He sure was crotchety.
Well, of course, you didn't see or hear anyone up there?
Well, I didn't see anybody, but I think I heard something.
What?
Well, it was right after I got into the room. I thought I heard something moving. So I looked around, but I didn't see anybody. So then I went back to the window. You think somebody was trying to steal something?
I don't know any other answer. Then what would there be worth stealing in town hall? Well, I guess I'd better have a talk with Mr. Miller. Maybe I'll take a look around the room, too.
Will you please tell him I wasn't trying to get into any trouble?
Oh, sure I will. I guess I'll go out and help Tank now.
Hey, Hop, isn't that a plane?
What? Yes, it is.
It's awful close. I think it's coming in for a landing.
You've got good ears, Chris. It is coming in. I hope Tank has most of the runway clear.
Can you see the plane?
Yes, that's in the approach. Twins and beasts. He'll make it all right, Tank finished.
Wonder who it is.
Hey, there's Army monkeys.
I bet... Hop, where are you going?
Time to meet the plane. I'll see you later.
But Hop, when can I get up?
I'm sorry, Chris. That's not my department. You'll have to wait till Aunt Agatha gets back from town.
Rushing down the hall and taking the stairs two at a time, pausing at the front door only to grab his coat, Hop races out to meet the incoming plane. Just as it taxis from start, he reaches the hangar apron, where Tank joins him.
Guess what it is, Hop? How do you remember who called it for
you? Oh, sure, John Temple.
Gosh, you made a fan.
There he is.
Hello, John.
Hey, how are you, boys?
Hi, yeah. John. Glad to see you.
No more than I am to see you. How's the family?
And Agatha?
Miss Nolan?
Hi, everybody's fine.
We're the office.
Hold on.
That's a good idea. Oh, well, just a minute.
Oh, all right, Lieutenant. Thank you very much.
Report back to you later. Boy, you're really traveling. It must be more important than I thought.
All right, boys. Let's go and drive.
Say, you're going to stick around a while, I hope.
It all depends. On what? On what you have to tell me. And what I find in that town hall bell of yours.
You don't get it. Why should the FBI care if a bell goes sour all of a sudden?
We wouldn't ordinarily, Hank.
What's that supposed to mean?
This isn't the first time it's happened.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks.
Sit down, John. Make yourself comfortable.
Yeah, let me take your coat.
No, thanks. Say, where's Miss Nolan? I thought she worked here at the field.
Well, she does, but she's out doing some last-minute Christmas shopping.
Oh,
well, okay, now, come on, spill it. What's it all about?
You don't give a fellow much chance to catch his breath, do you?
Sorry, but, gosh, a guy don't get a plane from the Army and go flying halfway across the country for nothing.
Hey, John, how did you hear about it?
Your town hall bell, you mean?
Yes.
I've had my department monitoring all local radio stations and newspapers.
Well, just this kind of thing?
Yes. And when I heard it happened here in Lakeville, I thought I'd take a personal hand in it. Give me a chance to see you again.
Well... Gosh, we're sure glad you're here.
All right, Tank, all right. I guess I'd better break down and talk before you blow a gasket. Tell me, have you ever heard of the Caron of Piranhas?
The which?
The Caron of Piranhas.
Not me. I don't know it either.
It's a very famous Caron in Czechoslovakia. Has a beautiful tone. Each bell was perfect. And your bell here in Lakeville came from that particular Caron.
Very perfect now.
Well, Peronix was badly hit during the war. He was left in ruins. The inhabitants were starving. So several towns here in the United States got together to help rebuild Peronix. One town up in Minnesota sent medical supplies, another town in Alabama sent clothing.
Lakeville sent food.
A check. Well, the people of Peronix wanted to show their gratitude, so they broke up their caravan and sent a bell to each of the towns that had contributed to their welfare. 8 towns in all.
Well, what happened to the other 10 bells? There are at least 18 in the Caron. I remember reading that somewhere.
They're still in Piranhas.
But you ain't told us what all the fuss is about.
Tank, 6 of those bells, yours included, have suddenly become discordant.
You mean they all sound awful?
That's right. The tone of each bell has changed, literally overnight. Boys, something is happening to those bells. Something weird and unearthly. The FBI wants to know what and why. As John Temple's voice suddenly hardens and he slams a clenched fist against the desk, Pop and Tank glance at each other, now more puzzled than they were before. Gang, we'll learn more in just a moment, so stand by. At the beginning of Pop Harrigan, fellas and girls, I was talking about the electronic brain, the BD computer. Now, here's how it'll work. Before leaving on a flight, the pilot draws his proposed flight path on a map and makes a few measurements with respect to the radio range stations along the way. And the pilot feeds these figures to the BD computer, and the machine's brain does all the rest. Actually, the computer receives signals from two different radio transmitters. The first signal gives information on the distance of the plane in flight from a ground radio transmitter. The other signal gives the direction of the plane from the radio station. As soon as the computer gets the signals, it turns wheels, generates voltages, and moves a pointer to tell the pilot whether he's on the flight line, or if he's off it, whether he should steer right or left to get back on the line. And as if that were not enough, the Minneapolis Honeywell Company, which developed the instrument, says it can be hooked up to the automatic pilot, which Minneapolis Honeywell now makes for all heavy bombers of the Air Force. This means that all the human pilot has to do is throw a switch to the landing beams at the proper time. The BD computer is the first instrument of its kind to be brought to the stage of actual installation and flight. Although its dials and indicators are easy enough to read, its mechanism does involved and complicated mathematics in the flick of an eyelash. It's really miraculous the way scientists ever figured out the secret of the device. But this is just another of the new developments to make aviation safer and better for all the people who fly. Another story in the growth of a great industry. And say, there's a real future in store for any of you who decide to make aviation your career. So always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. An hour has passed since John Temple related the strange story of the Carillon of Peronitz. Now, it is late afternoon. We find Hop, Tank, and the FBI agent in the Lakeville Town Hall, climbing the narrow ladder leading up through the steeple to the belfry.
Watch yourself. The rungs on this ladder are covered with ice. One slip and you'll take a long fall. You all right, Hop?
Yes. Hey, John, what do you expect to find by examining the belt?
I really don't know, Hop. I've looked at two of the other bells and haven't found a thing wrong with it.
Then what are we risking our necks like this for?
No, we have to check everyone's hang. I've arranged for experienced bell casters to examine the others. I haven't received any report yet, though.
Here we are.
Hey, can we all get up there?
Just about if we stand on this crossbeam.
Be careful, Tank.
Don't worry, I will.
Hop, give me a hand.
Thanks.
Better hang out of these uprights.
Now, let's see.
Yeah. You should have told Mr. Miller to ring the bell for us.
While we're up here, we go get.
And who's Miller?
There's a caretaker here.
No cracks or imperfections that I can see.
Not around this side either.
How about the inside?
I'll take a look.
Now, watch yourself now.
If I can just reach under.
Oh. Ah, don't lean over. Get
caught. That's him. I can't reach him. Oh, my God.
Standing on an icy wind-lashed crossbeam, Tank lunges forward, grabbing wildly. But his reach is short, and Hop plunges out and down, his arms flailing the air. Below him is a straight drop of 150 feet to certain injury, if not death. Gang, you won't want to miss our next action-packed and very revealing episode. So be sure to tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same usual station. Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.